It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 145. Where are we at in society? Those greedy-ass Girl Scouts are at it again, complaining that they have a bunch of unsold cookies. Boo freaking who. At 1:30, we may have to discuss ERCOT a little bit. That's because my guest for the next hour is the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling. John Reichel is behind the glass today. And, yes, now sitting across from me for this hour, it's Jeff Ward. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
It's a day later than normal, but thank you for joining me for a full hour. I appreciate it.
Whales and turkey above your head, so don't it?
Whales and turkey. Oh, yeah. Sure. Have you been into Euro Cup 2020?
Yeah.
Did you see the craziness on Saturday? I was not watching it live, but
you
I had a friend.
The cardiac arrests?
Yes, where the guy literally hit the pitch dead and was brought back to life.
They brought him back to life. And he's not just anybody. He is a world-class player.
Christian Eriksen,
They still don't know.
Yeah, they said that he hadn't had COVID before. Yeah, he was not vaccinated. So the
I didn't know that.
So the myocarditis is not an issue right now. They had checked him out literally within a couple of days before that.
I mean, this isn't just a fit person. This is the 0.00001% of fit people who has been tested every time he signs a new contract. And he's dead on the field. It's unreal.
I mean, you can see it on his face when he hits the ground.
No, he's
watched
dead.
The replays. But the friend that texted me said, I am crying right now because I think I just saw somebody die in the middle of the game.
Well, and his teammates did too. In fact, the guy, one of his teammates, this guy is a world-class player and a great guy too. I mean, he's has an incredible reputation. And one of his teammates, I think since what was happening, he goes down and he's trying to revive him. He had the sense to have the teammates, as soon as, because they knew immediately the trainers come running out, right? He's the one who organized them to circle him while they were using the defibrillator on him. He's thinking, I don't want the world to see this. And so they circled him on the field, the players did, so we couldn't watch it. I don't know. I mean, this is a guy, I don't even think he's 30 yet.
29, yeah.
Yeah, if there's a heart defect, it shows up sooner or later. This isn't the fat guy who hasn't seen his cardiologist in 20 years. This is a guy who's checked out all the time. And, you know, you thought in the early days, oh, there's some rare defect that was never detected. So far, nothing, which is just weird.
Speaking of defibrillators, I mean, we use the term lifesaver all the time.
Yeah.
That is a literal lifesaver. I spoke with one of the top cardiologists in the world a few months back for the podcast, and he was talking about some of the best places that you can have a cardiac issue are at sports arenas and stadiums, at gyms, and then at casinos of all places who apparently are well-stocked.
Right.
With defibrillators.
That's where mine will be.
And so the team doctor, the team doctor on Monday or Tuesday, I guess it was Monday.
Said it.
He came out and said, look, like he was dead when we got to him. We tried CPR and it only took one shock of the defib and he came back,
which we're thankful
about because normally it takes more than that.
Yep. Yeah, I read that. You know, I had this weird thought come to mind only because I know them. The other best place to have a heart attack is at a Westlake football game.
Hmm.
Remember that a few years ago, a kid playing football for Westlake, who ended up going to Texas, an offensive lineman.
Wow.
Collapses. It was an early season game, so it's 100 degrees. So this is a big guy. I can't remember his last name, but it's at a Westlake game. Falls over. Justin Tucker's dad, the field goal kicker, is a cardiologist. He's at the game.
This was the Justin Tucker era at Westlake?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Adam Ulatowski, maybe?
No. I think his last name is Nader.
Okay.
Big guy, was signed to go to Texas, went and stayed, you know, for 3 or 4 years on a medical scholarship or whatever. Collapses.
Matt Nader.
Yeah. And boom, he told me, I knew right away it wasn't heat. And he got down there and they split open his shoulder pads and saved his life. So, yeah.
Were you at that game?
No.
Okay. You going to be at the Austin, not to change gears, but are you going to be
the
at the Austin
tonight? No.
FC game
no,
this
it's
weekend?
A cool stadium, though.
You going to be at the game this weekend? No. You just don't like crowds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My kid has a shirt. That's good enough. I tell you what, they are proud of those, too, man. You can't find one. The real thing, the real jerseys, you can't find one. It'd take days to get one online, and you're going to pay, especially little kid sizes.
Well, that's why would they do that? Why would not, they not make those
things
available?
They sell them out. They've been selling them like crazy.
Well, print more.
That's what I said, but they didn't listen to me. Said my son is complaining right now. I need a shirt. Well, it'll take 3 days.
Well, I don't think the state of Texas listened to you either with regards to the slippery slope that might be NIL. With an official law on the books now, Greg Abbott signed that earlier this week.
Oh, boy.
Texas is amongst the first who will allow its college athletes to profit off of name, image, and likeness. Have you seen or read anything over the last week or so since we last spoke? Because I know this has become a weekly conversation for us, but this is something that is a big deal, and I don't think we fully understand the ramifications of it all.
Yeah, I think first of all, the average voter needs to ask yourself, is this really what you really think your legislator should be doing? I mean, this is a perfect example of everything that's, in my opinion, everything that's wrong with government these days and voters in general. It's all the voters' fault. But this is this should be a conference and or school decision. Done. Period. End of story. Like everything else, it should be local control. It's not. So the state rep who sponsored the bill, I'll give the guy credit. He was brutally honest. He sponsored the bill, and when he sponsored the bill, and the bill ultimately was signed by Greg Abbott. Why this needs to be legislation is beyond me, except he admitted the reason why it was important to sign the bill is so state schools, i.e. Aggie U and State U, would not lose recruits. And he just admitted it. I'm thinking, why is a state rep even talking about that? Is that it? That's we have power grid meltdown, and we're making laws about just to protect recruiting? What are you doing? I know people would say, well, yeah, it's a thing. It's not a thing. This thing is not a thing. It's not a big deal. It's not the moneymaker everyone thinks. Let me back up. Okay, so it's a law now. All right, so these schools now have to adapt to this environment, whatever this environment is. Nobody knows because nobody knows what they're getting into. First of all, if you run, I don't care, pick an advertiser. You're telling me you're going to hire a 17-year-old to be your spokesperson?
It depends on the product.
And what product would that be?
And it
what
depends
strip
on the
club
kid.
Would that be? They can't do
no
firearms. They can't do alcohol.
They can't do fleshlights. They can't do strip clubs.
Yeah.
They can't do e-cigs.
Okay, so and what is that again? I mean, what are they going to sell?
So I think about like David Ash. When David Ash, and look, we're going to talk about the quarterback here more than anything else because the quarterback is the most popular guy on campus. David Ash.
Yeah.
Had the reputation as a guy who, coming into Texas, the story was out that he literally did not have a television in his house growing up. So if I am somebody who owns, I don't know, a TV repair shop in Austin or a place that sells televisions or something like that, I would love to have David Ash come on and to have a little bit of fun with his upbringing, pay him a couple of bucks to help me sell some televisions.
Okay. Would you buy a television from a guy who's never watched TV? That is the most convoluted logic.
No, but I would give credit for a good ad being done.
My point is, one, there's not a market. And the market that is there, I'm telling you, is going to be this back-ended, unintended consequences of throwing the door open for your uncle to get hired on by some agent who's going to promise some endorsement deal. Okay. The only market that I thought of, and I read it, and I think I sent it to you, and this stood out to me. I keep thinking there's not a real market for this. Nobody really even knows who these guys are by and large. The audience is pretty limited. You know, people, the only thing that comes to mind is somebody famous like Vince Young, but those are once in a generation players, and there's just not that much money to be made. The money to be made, I think, is going to be shady and sketchy at best. Where I think there may be a market, and this is going to be one of those unintended consequences, social media influencers, okay? I read this ESPN piece, and it was breaking down. It monetized social media influencers, right? And we all know how TikTok works. I mean, you've got people making $50,000 a post for a 10-second post. Who's making those, and what are they doing?
I think a lot of times there's something sexual going on, correct?
Okay, so the market then in social media is not going to be some left tackle. It's not even going to be your quarterback. It's going to be who? The smoking hot volleyball player who wants to sexualize herself.
Okay.
Okay. It's not going to be about her athletic skills at all. It's going to be just a grand version of what you'd get on TikTok now. Are you willing to sexualize yourself?
I still think that football players, basketball players, and baseball players to a lesser degree, there will still be a market for those guys through things like sports camps, if nothing else, autograph signing sessions. And I think some of these guys, there will be endorsement deals that make sense for the individual.
I don't think it makes sense for a business. I don't know any business owner that wants to take the risk. And I don't mean that any of us were any better when we were 18. When you're 18, you're a knucklehead and you can't even complete a sentence. I wouldn't want to hire somebody like that.
Most kids are like that, but how many UT alums who are business owners would love to put Sam Ellinger's face and voice to whatever it is that their business is? It could be something that doesn't even make complete sense. It could be something that has to deal with the toughness of something. You know, it could be something very obscure. Sam Ellinger is a guy that would have gotten endorsement deals. Now, that's not going to be the case for everybody on the roster.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think that there are going to be a lot.
Even then, I think the market is really, really small. I mean, it really is. His influence over somebody buying a product, whatever product it is pretty limited. He's, again, one of those once-in-a-generation players. So all we could come up with is about three guys that I think could really justify any real dollars changing hands. Not to mention the time that goes into it, right? So, I mean, this would be a nightmare for me if I was a coach. So we recruit you, and then it starts coming up, hey, what kind of endorsement deals can you get you? To play the game, to win you over, I've got to start convincing you that we've got endorsement deals. So you show up on campus. How much time are you going to spend making these calls? I mean, how much time are you going to spend negotiating these deals? I mean, you do one ad client, for example, there's hours and hours that go into working that deal, closing that deal, coming up with the ads that you're going to read. I mean, stuff that we do for a living takes time. Is that what this guy's going to spend his evenings doing?
Maybe, but I think
who's going to be the rep for that deal?
I think it's a lot simpler than that, though. Like, you think about things like OnlyFans or Twitch, where these guys are literally required to play video games and they can get paid to do so.
Okay.
I think those opportunities are out there too, though.
Unfortunately, I think one of the unintended consequences is the market is going to be exactly what the social media market is today, and that is sexualizing women.
Well, the other thing to think about,
if you're having to be a female athlete, this is what's going to come your way, unfortunately, if you want to take advantage of it.
The other thing to think about with social media, and I've seen this in a number of places now, is there's so much effort being made to push social media numbers up without really understanding how to monetize social media. That's something that the business world has not truly figured out this yet, just yet. It's hard-pressed to think that college kids, even with the backing of the University of Texas or whatever other program, you know, whatever the program is labeled at North Carolina, A&M, wherever else, that they're going to have an idea of how to do that either.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It had to be, I guess. I just don't think on the front end it's anywhere what people think. I think this is, as usual in college sports, it's far more complicated. I don't think it's going to be managed well. And I think in the end it's going to swing open the door that is the ugly side of all of this. And that is, hey, I'd love to work with you. Yeah, 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 but talk to my uncle. I can't sign with an agent now. Okay. Then I go to your uncle and I find your uncle and I say, hey, man, let's try to get you a deal with Adidas. And then you've got this relationship that starts up that is down a really terrible path. And that's where I think this thing is going to end up. And I don't think they can rein it back in. I know how the agent thing works, and they're desperate to win clients. Here's the easiest way to get in the door now. The most difficult part for these agents, there are more agents than there are players that make money, far more. That's why it's such an ugly business, because they've got to do anything they can to lock down anybody they can that might make them a buck in the future, because those guys are few and far between. The rich players are few and far between. So what's the best way to do it? I've got an in now. Now I can start talking about endorsement deals, and I can talk to your uncle and your grandfather and everybody, every other hanger-on that I can find. I'm going to work out a relationship with them.
Yeah, they tried to guard against that by changing the language in the bill. They changed it from agent to somebody who actually has a law degree, but that's only going to help so much.
Exactly. It's they've tried to do the best they can since the 80s, since this thing, you know, was the Wild West, to try to keep the agents, you know, out of it, to have as much influence. And now what I think they've done, not even the schools themselves, this is not their fault. This is dumped on them, which I think is going to be a nightmare. I think it is the invitation back in for the agents. It is. And if I were an agent, I'd use it too, because how else are you going to get in there to meet that sophomore or freshman that might one day make a lot of money?
So other than the occasional superstar, and not every team has that sellable superstar either.
Those are rare, too. I mean, I'm sorry, who at TCU are you hiring to sell what?
Yeah, is a great example. I was thinking of examples. Baylor, although maybe Charlie Brewer had a little bit of that last year, Baylor is another example from these last few years who didn't necessarily have that star player. But they had some decent players defensively a couple of years ago. You can do something with that. But this is also going to create more separations between those schools who have a lot of money and those who do not. And you can draw a basic line down the Power 5, but even within the Power 5 ranks, it is going to cause some more fractures between those schools who are trying to become competitive with the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Ohio States of the world, those who might still be able to do so, like Texas. I know LSU won a championship, Georgia, Florida. You know, think of some of the other big-time programs across the country versus the Texas Tech, the Baylors, the TCUs, the Northwesterns, the Indianas, all these other schools that will just be left in the wake by these programs that can find creative ways to get their players money.
Yeah, that can have an alumni base that cares enough, that has enough money that makes it all happen. I think it's a stupid idea. I think it's... I think it's, as usual in college sports, I think it's unmanageable. And I don't think the schools and the bureaucracy will manage it well. And I think there'll be these unintended consequences. In 5 years, we're going to look up and hear ugly stories. I'm going to say, I told you.
White Rabbit's Guru asks, what about Tim Tebow selling condoms? Well, that would be pretty creative. That would grab people's attention.
Joking aside, you don't need him for that. I mean, companies that are successful, I don't know where people think they went there. Where are you learning your business? You're hiring spokespeople to be a de facto salesperson. You're not hiring a joke. You're not throwing money away. You're trying to move products. You're trying to move services. It's not a joke. I don't know businesses. Businesses don't run like that. They're not going to run on just making jokes out of things.
So you got your market.
I don't even think. This whole thing about, well, alumni are going to hire them because they want to take care of them. No, they're not. Alumni are running businesses too. They're not just going to go throw money away. They want to move product.
So I know you taught marketing at Texas for a number of years. Yeah. Did you also get your marketing degree?
Yeah.
Why do businesses hire people to endorse their products or their business?
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you how. I'll tell you a few reasons why. Number one is to cut through the clutter. Okay. Number two is to establish credibility. So those are the first two issues. The three rules you have to, there's a few rules you have to follow. One, the person who you hire, has to cut through the clutter. They have to be noticeable. They have to be worthy enough of somebody saying, what did he say? What did she say? Okay, you've got to get someone to cut through the clutter. You got to get somebody to stop clicking and stop on you. Secondly, they have to match the product or service. So, you know, I mean, the extremes are, but most endorsement deals are pretty extreme. It takes a great deal of credibility and a great deal of star power to cut through the clutter. Those are few and far between. I mean, they really are. Businesses don't typically just throw this money around and hope it all works out. They've thought it through. They've tested it. So when Tiger Woods, you know, sells me a golf ball, there's built-in credibility. When you're just screwing around making jokes about Tim Tebow selling condoms, I don't know how you get the credibility of condoms, but... Then that's kind of a joke. So you not only want someone that cuts through the clutter.
It's along the lines of David Ash selling televisions. Tim Tebow was a virgin at Florida.
Yeah, you're thinking in kind of a funny way. But if you're on the other side of that equation as a business owner trying to retain or grow market share, you really need to move product. You need to get people in the door. You need to get people to click. And to do that is not an easy proposition. So they have to cut through the clutter. They have to match the position. Position is a slot in a consumer's mind. In other words, if I say Volvo, you say safety, right? If I say Rolex, you say one thing. So I've got to make sure that spokesperson is that product. They are that position in the consumer's mind. And then the next thing is they've got to communicate it properly. And that's where I think the whole thing would fall apart by hiring some college kid, hiring anybody for that matter. It's rare. I mean, you're not going to have a salesperson that can't sell your product. You're not going to hire a salesperson that can't walk out there and finish a sentence. You're just not going to do that. I don't think the businesses, as much as we joke about this, I don't think businesses want any part of these guys. I wouldn't.
What about Bijan Robinson?
Here it comes.
In Inner Space Caverns.
Okay. Inner Space Caverns.
he is.
Are they having a hard time?
No, I think they're doing great.
Yeah,
that's why they want to get a future
Heisman. They're
overcrowded
like every other park right now. They don't need anybody. They need to turn people away.
They want a future Heisman winner to endorse them for right
what
now.
What's he got to do? Hold his trophy out there by the cavern in his uniform?
He can't wear the uniform. Can't wear the uniform. It has to be
that's right.
A nondescript uniform.
See, there's another stupid part of it. Yeah. Why would I hire you if most people don't even know what you look like, right? Most people do not know what any football player looks like. You certainly don't know what a college football player looks like. So all of a sudden, I got some 17-year-old standing there with a Diet Coke in his hand. Well, who the hell is that guy? Without wearing the Texas uniform and number, I don't know who you are.
He is Jeff Ward, hanging out with me for the entire 1 o'clock
hour. It's so bad.
We're going to talk a little ERCOT on the other side. I may ask Jeff about the lab leak theory as well, get his thoughts on that. Oh. And we have some more offbeat stuff to get to, too, before the hour is up. You're listening to Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation this week here on The Horn. Back here on Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings today or the rest of the week. He is actually in the Houston area vacationing. Not my idea of a vacation, but hey, to each their own. Jeff Ward is filling in for the rest of this hour. Greatly appreciate that. Coming up at 2 o'clock, I'm hosting a food and restaurant roundtable, Austin-related, with Matthew Odom of The Statesman, and also one of the guys behind Locadoro, one of the best Italian restaurants in the city. Heck, one of the best restaurants in general. They're actually opening business back up now. They are doing outdoor seating alone at this point, I think, with plans in the future to allow folks indoor once again. Jeff, it's great to see the city start to open back up. Have you gone into a crowded venue, a restaurant, or something else over the last couple of weeks as everybody gets vaccinated and tries to regain that sense of normalcy?
Yes and yes. Does wine count?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did you go?
A regular spot three times a week. Hide in the corner.
What, the Grove?
Thanks for that, man. It's just what I want to do now. Go talk to these yahoos that are ripping me online. Yeah, great. Hey, Jeff, what do you think of? What do you think? Shut up. Put my headphones back on.
I think that I want to enjoy my glass of wine and some music in my ears.
Yeah.
So, Jeff.
I like Matthew Odom. He's good. You'll enjoy that conversation. He knows his stuff.
Love Matthew. He is a big Astros fan, and he is getting some kicks right now out of the fact that the rest of the league has finally apparently caught on to some of the methods that the Astros have been utilizing for a few years now to help win them a World Series. May ask him about that briefly, but it's going to be mostly a food and restaurant conversation there. Real quick piece of breaking news from the NBA. It looks like the Mavs have parted ways with GM Donnie Nelson. This comes just a couple of days after a story from The Athletic reported that Luka Doncic was reluctant to sign a Supermax extension with the franchise because of a major disagreement with the front office. Perhaps this is Mark Cuban, despite the fact that he said there is no such thing going on here. This is Mark Cuban's true response to that, letting
go
of Donnie Nelson.
What matters more? Management or a player?
Oh, no questions.
Yeah, done.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And especially,
he's done. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Look, I don't watch the NBA. I think it's an utter waste of time. It's almost as big of a waste of time as Major League Baseball, Jeff. But when, at the end of the season, your superstar player, who is clearly, to those who watch, one of the top three players in the league, your general manager, in his exit interview, says, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He needs to learn to trust his teammates a little bit more. The, the crappy teammates that you're responsible for putting around him that everybody could see very clearly that he had no help at the end of the season or in the playoffs. When you're throwing that backhanded compliment to your superstar, you're probably not long on the job.
I'm surprised Mark Cuban's head didn't explode. Like, he's not the kind of guy that would quietly go through and address that. He's the kind of guy that would have tossed him out right then.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in his age, Mark Cuban is mellowing a little bit, but that's shut up. Yeah. He matters more than you. He matters a lot more than you. Well, and it's kind of thing, I think what's ridiculous is when people have this attitude that these certainly star pro players, well, you need to push them a little bit. Shut up. You just need to, they know how to go to work. It's work. It's just work. And they've mastered this. And it's not like the guy's a slacker.
No.
You don't need to diss him at all. Don't diss him. I mean, I think the Packers have run into some of that, except I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is more of a diva. But it was an idiotic way to handle it.
It's a little bit of both with the Packers, in my opinion, because Aaron Rodgers, agreed, I think he had every right to be upset with how their season ended this last year, where Matt LaFleur made a terrible decision kick a field goal at the end of that playoff game.
But I wish somebody would just say that. I wish Aaron Rodgers would just own it and go, you know what? They may have blown my last chance.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed about it, and I don't know if I can get over it. I mean, I think any one of us would understand that. We understood it in the minute. I would not have held it against if he said, I'm not coming off the field right now, coach. I'm staying, okay?
He really did need to pull that move.
Yeah, he did. He did. If it's that, I think all of us would almost understand that the guys just can't get over realizing such an idiotic move may have cost me my last chance and I want out. I got to go find another chance. I would respect that, but the way it's being handled is so, I don't know. I think there's some diva in Aaron Rodgers.
No question about that.
I think they're both acting like divas.
Not to get into the personal life too much more.
Jeez, you hate this guy. I mean, it's another level of hate.
But he loves the high-profile girlfriends. He can't just...
Does he have a high-profile? I'm out of touch, so...
He's Shailene Woodley.
I don't know.
He's one of the hot, young actors in Hollywood. I don't know if she's won an Academy Award. I think she's been nominated. I mean, he goes for actors and race car drivers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at some point, maybe you consider, since those other things aren't working out so well, trying to meet the hostess at Applebee's, assuming she's of
age. Yeah, because that's going to end well, too. That always ends well. Yeah, that's great. Let her have three kids, too.
Oh, man. Okay, so it got hot real fast. Like, starting, I want to say, late last week or this weekend, it is scorching now. We're hitting 100 degrees this week, which is even early here for Austin and Texas. Normally that doesn't start until July. And so earlier this week, Jeff, ERCOT asked people to once again conserve their energy so that we can avoid longer term blackouts happening this week while the temperatures are as hot as they are. ERCOT, perhaps understandably considering what happened with the deep freeze 4 months ago, is facing a lot of, pun intended, I guess, heat for this. Do you agree with the criticisms being levied at them right now? Because they are trying to warn people, look, we need to do a better job of conserving because we are at an all-time high in terms of the demand and the system is stressed.
Not really. First of all, to act as if this is some kind of one-off, like it was February all over again, I think is ridiculous. It's been 100 degrees in June before. It's not that unexpected. What happened in February, you could argue, even though it happened in 2011, you could argue, well, that's a freakish thing. This is not that freakish. So what I understand, going back to the horrific time of February, ERCOT is like your neighborhood association. They're managing what they can manage. And I think they have conveniently become, remember, we've had an entire legislative session. And it took the last day to sign a bill to deal with a power grid meltdown, which was a lie from the beginning. We were told back in the late 90s, the lobbyists, both sides of the aisle, that our, quote, competitive energy structure was going to bring prices down. The Wall Street Journal did a story 5 days after the meltdown that week, and we paid more. It was a lie. It was a flat-out lie. We weren't getting a better deal. We were getting a worse deal. And on top of that, we're getting a worse deal when there was no protections, no safeguards built in. So it was screwed up politically from the very beginning. It was never managed politically from the very beginning, and it wasn't managed by anybody in office. So ERCOT, being the neighborhood association manager, was a convenient scapegoat. I'm not saying they didn't have some fault, but the fault lies at the feet of those that are lawmakers that are supposed to set up the system we pay for.
Yeah.
And they go an entire legislative session. Nothing else should have been addressed during the legislative session except that. No, I'm not saying at all. I'm just saying that should have been priority number one. And transgendered athletes was more important than that. Correct?
No, you're
guns
right about that.
Guns are more important than that. Walls are more important than that. No, that's the most important thing going, because it is on you. It is up to them. It is exactly why you elect someone. And it took until the last day for a bill to be signed. And now here we are, what, 2 weeks out of the legislative session ending, and now we're getting warned it may happen again. The excuse in February was it's cold. The excuse in June is it's hot?
Yeah, really? The excuse in February, it being cold, comes down to, look, on the one hand, it was a once-in-a-lifetime storm, and that's something that will catch a power supply that is meant to deal with the rigors.
There were warnings and warnings and warnings dating back to 2011 saying, if you don't weatherize this one day, there's a chance of a meltdown.
It seems like it happens every 10 to 20 years. 2011, it happened in the mid-90s. It happened in the mid-80s as well. And unfortunately, the state has not required a lot of these power generators to properly winterize. And they've been able to get away with it most winters. This is a winter that they weren't able to do so. So hopefully there is some sort of requirement in place and also a check and balance to make sure that it's happening to keep that from going down like it did again. Don't have another winter storm for another decade.
If there's a blackout, who's going to be the face of this? I guarantee it won't be Greg Abbott.
I'm guessing it'll be ERCOT.
It'll be some ERCOT
way,
stiff
shape, or form.
Who didn't get fired the last time.
But if it happens again, I think the pressure does go to Greg Abbott now.
He'll find a way to deflect. You're going Fox News. Talk about walls.
He'll go to another Mexican restaurant.
Exactly. He pulled it off last time. He had one of the most despicable performances of anybody in politics. And this is a guy who didn't used to be despicable. And he went on Fox and started talking about wind turbines right in the middle of the meltdown. He is a guy who is, I don't know, I think the better question is, none of us even knew what ERCOT meant until February. Now we know, and now we hate it. We don't even know them. And then we didn't sure exactly what they do anymore. But they're going to end up being, already you can see it, and those are appointees of his, I believe. You've already can see this thing building up. They're the devil again. But it's got to come back to the legislature. I mean, exactly. What did you want to do about this meltdown of the past? And to turn around and act in June of this year that it's all a shock is laughable. It's hot in June.
I'm wondering if there's something more going down here. I'm reading Dennis Kucinich's new book right now about when he was a part of the government in Cleveland. And there was this fight between Muni Power, which was the local power supplier, and a regional supplier who was essentially trying to pressure Muni into selling to create more of a monopoly. Now, ERCOT has always been able to, whenever there has been a power strain, been able to buy electricity from other power suppliers in America, and even going south of the border to buy from Mexico at times. Is less of that happening right now? Are there outside pressures that are trying to force ERCOT?
I remember interviewing a lot of people about this, people that kind of knew the whole format. It's pretty fascinating to go back in the history of this. This is going to get boring, and I'm by no means an expert. What's disturbing from the beginning is that the original concept, pitched by a Democrat, by the way, to George W. Bush, came from Enron. Enron was the one saying the future of energy is competition. And I would wholly agree, because I'm a militant free enterprise person. When in doubt, you encourage competition. But if you look at this thing, it's really not that competitive. What happened when you really break it down is a couple companies buying up all these little companies. We don't have real competition. We have far from that. Mm. So the model that was originally pitched, that if you have a bunch of smaller Trey Energy companies, Jeff Energy companies, and they're all going to be battling it out to win over Pernalis, to win over Lost Creek, to win over whatever, it's going to make it a much more competitive environment. The theory was right. The concept was right. The practice, as usual, when you're in bed with politicians, it's never going to be free enterprise. It's going to be sellout all the way through. So all of a sudden, you had these couple players in the industry buying up everyone else. And in the end, they may have different names, but they're all owned by just a few companies. So it wasn't very competitive at all in the end. And the prices weren't lower in the end. The prices were more than what surrounding states were paying. So we got this pitch that we're going to have this really innovative free enterprise Enron-like system. We saw that worked out. Unlike other states where it's government regulated and government run, and we would get lower prices. Well, we got the double whammy. We got neither. So, I don't think anyone should ever believe anybody in politics when they say, I'm really promoting competition. No, they're not. They're promoting whatever gets them reelected. Mm. Don't believe them. ever.
He is Jeff
ever.
Ward filling
no
in for Chad Hastings.
No matter what the letter, R or D, don't believe them.
He is Jeff Ward. That's why I love the guy right there. Filling in for Chad Hastings for one more segment. I promise we'll turn things a little bit more lighthearted in this last segment. No, I'm not going to ask him about the lab leak theory. We may get into those damn greedy Girl Scouts, though, before it's all said and done. That's coming up
you
next year on Shirts.
You hate them almost as much as Aaron Rodgers.
Shirts and Skins. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers does not try to date a Girl Scout. That would end very badly for him. And you're listening to The Horn.
The Longhorns are heading back to Omaha.
For the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation, the Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida, and they are Omaha bound in 2021.
Hear Texas and Mississippi State on Sunday night. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6. On your radio home for UT Sports, The Horn.
Hey guys, this is Trey for Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com, 255-8678. Like many of you, for a long time, I dreamed of a home theater setup where we had a massive big screen TV, surround sound to boot, all in the comfort of our living room. And eventually, I turned to audiovisual consultations to make that happen. First, though, we tried to do things ourselves. We bought a 65-inch screen and some speakers that we thought would work. Unfortunately, they did not. Ultimately, I turned to the experts at audiovisual consultations. I gave Tom McKay a call at 255-8678. He came over to my place, made fun of me for our failed efforts, and then he got it right the first time. He and his guys do excellent quality of work. They put a TV on a wall that I wanted it to go to, but I didn't even think was possible. They made it happen. That's why a couple months ago, when we upgraded from 65 to 75 inches, we went to audiovisual consultations. They saved us a couple bucks on the TV, and they got that television mounted back on that wall. They'll do so for you as well. First, go to avconsultations.com to see what they can do for you, and then give them a call. Audiovisual Consultations, 255-8678. Back here on Shirts and Skins, Chad Hastings is on vacation this week. I have a rotating co-host chair right now. It is being sat in by the great Jeff Ward. I want to remind you that coming up after the top of the hour,
Dan Rather coming in.
Dan Rather is going to be in on Thursday. No, Matthew Odom of the Statesman and Adam Orman of Locadoro. They are going to be here coming up from 2 to 3 to talk about food and restaurants here in Austin. Yesterday, if you missed it, I spoke with Chris Del Conte for about 15 minutes. You can check out that conversation at hornfm.com. And on Thursday, Bucky Godbolt. Wait, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow, Bucky Godbolt will be with me from 12 to 2. And then coming up at 2 o'clock, I have a special conversation for you that I'm not ready to promote just yet. So you'll just have to stay tuned to find out about that one.
Is that Leslie Stahl?
Leslie Stahl, no. We had Andrea Kramer on a couple months ago prior to her South by Southwest appearance. Yeah.
What does that mean, a South by Southwest appearance?
She was at South by, I guess technically it was a virtual appearance this year,
right?
But she was in conversation with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the Chiefs offensive lineman.
Is that the guy who went to medical school?
Went to medical school and was helping up in Canada for the year rather than play football.
Yeah.
He already had a Super Bowl title from the previous year. He could afford it. But it was a very heroic effort by him. So she talked with him, so we got to have that conversation with her. I mean, she is a true trailblazer in sports journalism. I mean, she was, I think, the first woman who worked in production for NFL films. She was one of, if not the first woman, to actually be in front of the camera for ESPN. She is a part of the first female broadcasting booth for NFL games with the Amazon broadcast on Thursday nights.
NFL Films is an amazing story by itself.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is.
They should have their own NFL Films documentary.
There should be an NFL Films documentary about the creation of NFL Films, the genius of NFL Films, the family that started it.
The Sables.
Yeah. Brilliant. I mean, you go back. I mean, they sort of taught us great documentaries.
That's a great point.
I mean, they really did. I mean, nobody got, I mean, I guess you could argue some National Geographic stuff, but I mean, it's the brilliance of the NFL. It embraces storytelling better than any other sport. It is the made for TV sport that embraces it. And they let those guys do whatever they want. They let them have total access when it was unheard of back then, right? It was unheard of to have somebody, you know, it was unheard of to have microphones all over the place catching F-bombs and everything else. And the NFL embraced it.
It was a great combination of actually getting a real look at what was going on with the sport on the sidelines, on the field, in the locker room. Incredible music.
Yep.
To go with that NFL Films music. You also had incredible writing. And then, of course, the booming voice of...
John Facenda, to start with, right? I mean, that's... you have to smoke about six packs a day and drink a full bottle of Jack Daniels to get there.
Yeah.
But it was great narration. It was just... They turned it into drama.
Yes, they did.
When nobody else would. The documentary about their documentaries would be cool.
All right. Those greedy Girl Scouts have something coming to them. So let's go ahead and Where Are We At sounder, if you don't mind,
right,
John.
Where are we at in society today?
Jeff, the Girl Scouts are a greedy organization. Sure, they teach girls some positive lessons as well. But when it comes to cookie selling season, they are a bunch of greedy little you-know-whats. And it looks like their greed has not paid off this year. The Girl Scouts have announced that they have 15 million boxes of unsold cookies this year. The 109-year-old organization says the coronavirus is the main culprit. As the pandemic wore into the spring selling season, many troops nixed their traditional cookie booths for safety reasons. Quote, "This is unfortunate, but given that this is a girl-driven program and the majority of cookies are sold in person, it was to be expected," according to a spokesperson.
It's the ultimate pyramid scheme.
Yes, it is.
Bernie Madoff went to prison for that stuff. It's true. I'm reading messages. I hate you. I'm done with this, man.
I told you not Jeff to look Ward. At that text line.
I don't care, but I hate Jeff Ward, blah, blah. And you're sitting here doing a riff on hating on Girl Scouts, and they're mad at me? The crowd hates me?
I hate the organization.
Wow,
think there's a lot of good girls in the Girl Scouts who have been in the Girl Scouts over time.
It's a little Madoff like.
But the Girl Scout cookie bit, all it's doing is teaching them to be professional salespeople. We don't need more salespeople in this world, Jeff. We need less.
You gotta buy a 2016 Camry from someone, man. Right? Someone's got to come charging out of that dealership to get in your face.
Do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't understand. Oh, because the crowds aren't out to buy the cookies. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if there's some kind of reaction to the vaccine or something with the cookies. That would really ruin them. Give them a few good lawsuits, and that'll be the end of them.
Vaccine?
I've never heard anyone just flat out say, "I hate the Girl Scouts." Like, you didn't even cloud it at all. Just right there. I hate the Girl Scouts.
Well, that's why some people consider me special,
man.
Jeff.
Wow. I'm trying to muster up enough hate, I can't even get there.
Well, I know
I've called him Bernie Madoff.
I've done something impressive when I've actually flabbergasted you with the hatred.
Yeah, well, yeah. I went Bernie Madoff, but I'm not even sure. They're a little intrusive. It's a little much.
The sales bit became
much.
I remember the specific moment where I realized
Do you have a kid to do it?
That is involved. She wants to get into the Girl Scouts. I'm fighting it almost as hard as I'm fighting that trip to Disney World right now.
Yeah, that's...
But I remember the specific moment. This was about 20 years ago, and I was going into a mobile gas station over off of Monterey Oaks and 290-71. And there was a Girl Scout table set up right outside the front door of this gas station. And I was being berated because I wasn't stopping to buy Girl Scout cookies. And it's like, look.
You feel like hell.
Yeah, don't give me crap because I don't want to buy your crap cookies. Okay? I understand these things have a shelf life of 50 years, but I still don't want to buy them. Yeah, the Samoas are decent. Mm. Yeah, you throw the Thin Mints into the freezer. Those are pretty good as well. But for the most part, I don't need your cookies, girls.
Why don't you stop at their table next time and say, "Do you know who Bernie Madoff is?" Mom, do you know who Bernie Madoff is?
He's a dead man.
What was his name? Charles Ponce? You ever read that? Read up on that stuff, kids. It's not okay. You're headed down you know who Enron is? That's where you're headed. You feel pretty good about that, Mom? You don't even know who Bernie Madoff is? And most people don't even know what I'm saying right now. That's the unfortunate part.
Sadly, you're right about that.
Yeah, they don't know who Bernie Madoff is, and they'd probably think it's okay. You mean that's wrong?
Yeah, it hasn't been in a 280-character tweet in the last 24 hours.
Well, you said that, too, so I'm going to get the hate on that message, too.
All right, he is Jeff Ward helping out this hour. Jeff, thank you so much for the time, buddy.
Thanks for having me in.
We'll talk to you next Tuesday. All right, coming up, it is an Austin food and restaurant roundtable with a couple of experts in the business. You're listening to Shirts and Skins minus Chad Hastings on the Horn.